Chapter 5, Tesla's Ghost. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, Tesla's Ghost. Hey, Julie.
Temporal Entropic Anomaly.
Tesla's Ghost.
Temporal Entropic Anomaly.
Tesla's Ghost, it sounds better. Pete steps between me and Tesla.
Shut up, both of you. Nikola, whatever it is, what does it mean?
Tesla takes a deep breath, then thinks twice about giving our little group of toddlers, including two actual toddlers, a full explanation, and settles on this.
As I said, the paradox is accelerating the normal rate of entropy, speeding up time and collapsing the timeline, in order to resolve the temporal contradiction. And it is clearly now beginning to create temporal anomalies like this.
And in English?
Random events or people appearing outside of the ordered timeline, like apparitions. See? Tesla's ghost, I told you.
Tesla ignores me, taps his chin.
It may not be random. There may be a reason this anomaly is happening at this moment in the timeline. I cannot be certain.
Pete takes the reins. Well, there's only one way to find out. And he stuffs a kid under each arm and heads for the door. So we cram into the elevator. Tesla's hyperventilating. He hasn't seen the outside of his hotel room in years. Well, this hotel room anyway. And when we finally spill out into the lobby and make our way past the concierge desk, a woman calls out to us.
Gentlemen and children, may I help you? I'm the new concierge, here at your service.
God, could she sound any more chipper? Wait, I forgot. We're in 1947. We're back in post-World War II chipper level 11 times. But we're in a rush. We can't make any chipper small talk. Got Tesla's ghost to chase down. So we pretend not to notice her and skulk by like the worst trained bunch of spies in the world. And that's when Pete makes the mistake. He turns his head ever so slightly to take a look at who's being so chipper. A girl, early 20s maybe, with tortoiseshell retro glasses and a jangly charm bracelet, waves at us enthusiastically.
Aunt Barb?
I whisper, oh fuck, as the girl drops her pen and cocks her head and smiles that 1947, I'm confused and kind of pissed, but I can't be rude, so you better tell me what the fuck is going on, smile.
Have we met, sir?
At this point, I'm whisper shouting, keep walking, Pete, keep walking. Dude, no ripples, dude. We have a timeline to keep, if you get my meaning. But Pete's mesmerized, like he's looking back into his own past. He stops and approaches her.
Great Aunt Barb?
She's blushing now.
My name is Barb, yes, but I assure you I'm no one's great aunt. I'm not even 20 yet.
We're tugging Pete away, all of us, but he just keeps going.
Do you have a sister, Shirley?
Now she's looking around nervously like the amazing Pete Dini has peered into her brain a little too closely and it's getting weird. She's trying to attract someone over to bail her out.
Yes, and who might you be, sir?
Pete, your grand... And Tesla lunges over and slaps his hand over Pete's mouth, and I turn him 180 degrees toward the door. We're sorry, Miss Barb person. Our friend Pete here is mentally, what's the current word? Touched. Yes, touched. He has episodes like this. Don't be alarmed. We are, in fact, taking him for electroshock therapy at this very moment.
Oh, dear. Then let me call you all a cab.
She picks up her desk phone.
No.
No? If he doesn't walk there, it gets worse. He'll start claiming something crazy, like the Brooklyn Dodgers are moving to Los Angeles. She laughs, a little shaky.
Well, that is crazy. I mean, that just couldn't happen, obviously. All right then, gentlemen and little ladies and other little hairy boy, please take care of your friend Pete, and you all have a wonderful day.
Phew. So we rush out the revolving doors into the crisp New York City fall air. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're in a completely different season than the one we left an hour ago. It's like early October or something. Shit's crazy. Don't ask. Pete's shaking his head.
Guys, sorry. That was just... Jeez. I mean, it's her. My grandfather's sister. I knew she worked in hotels, but I never thought. She died when I was in junior high. It was rough because she was like my one cool relative, the one who'd come over and drink perfect Manhattans and tell racy jokes to us kids. And she always had $5 up her sleeve, and she'd slip it out from that big charm bracelet and say, now don't spend it all on pretty girls, and pull my earlobe. Oh man, it looks like Pete's gonna cry. Wow, he really loved Great Aunt Barb. Hey dude, sorry.
I go to give him a hug and he stiff arms me. And we get regular Pete back. Not now, dude. I'll let you know when it's hug time. Sorry to get us off track there. Where to, Nicola? I take my first good look around. Huh. Why did I expect everything to be in black and white? Because you're an idiot. And almost instantly, I feel something wet seeping into my scalp and reach up and touch it. Oh, come on. The first thing that happens as I step out onto the streets of 1940s New York is a pigeon shits on my head. Pete laughs. Hey, that should make you feel comfortable, dude. Like, welcome home, Chip. Don't worry, some things never change. Eh, good point. I rub some of it off on his arm as he tries to back away. No wonder everyone's wearing hats. Everyone's wearing hats because it's 1947. Come on, dude, wake up. Anyway, one of the pigeons lands on Tesla's arm and he gently hands it a crumb of bread. I guess he keeps a stash in his pocket at all times for just such occasions. And strokes its wings. Well, hello, Penelope. Ah, Penelope Pigeon. Cute. Hey, how do you know that one's Penelope? They are all Penelope. Oh. Before we can speed off in the direction of Tesla's ghost, Gigi tugs my pants leg. I crouch down. What's up, kiddo? You missing mommy? Nuts. Oh, well. Sorry, Julie. I sincerely was checking to make sure Gigi was all there like any normal kid. I figured she'd be starting to wonder what the fuck was going on and where mommy was, but there's a nut vendor right next to us on the corner, roasting the best-smelling candied cashews that have ever been smelled. And for the moment, I guess nuts trumps mommy, and I'm thinking we're all kind of hungry because I hear the collective groan from our stomachs. And I swear to God, I can sense the saliva gathering in all our mouths. Except Bobo, of course. Julie, I don't even know why Bobo has a mouth. It certainly isn't to eat. I've never seen him eat anything, ever, except his own hands. And all he says are bullshit rhymes, so he doesn't really need it to talk. Anyway, another multiverse mystery for you to ponder while you wait for us to rescue 2020. Hey, nut guy, we'll take a big bag of the cashews. I turn to Pete. Dude, you got any shillings?
We're in 1947 New York, not medieval Europe.
Right. How much for the nuts? The guy hands over a bag that would feed us for a month. And he's like, that'll be 10 cents, folks. What? 10 cents. Okay, I'll throw in a couple of stick candies for the girls. Wow, I don't think I've paid a dime for anything ever. Like, even a piece of bazooka at the bodega is a quarter. So I hand the nut guy a buck and say, keep the change. And he looks at me like I just paid his mortgage. And I give Gigi and Hannah a warm cashew each and pop one into my mouth and, oh my God. Tesla reaches out and turns my face toward him, peers into my eyes.
Are you all right, Chip? Allergic reaction?
No. I hug the bag of nuts to my chest, feeling its warmth, smelling its mixture of sweet, salty, earthy goodness. Can we live here, Nicola? I look longingly around me at the simplicity and the inexpensiveness and the sense of people being polite and the cars waiting for people to cross the street instead of trying to mow them down. I'm kidding, of course, Julie. I wouldn't want to live here without you, but man, I wish you could see this. It's wild. I look at the Empire State Building, down 34th Street, over on 5th Avenue, sitting there all alone in the skyline. The only other building peeking up into the sky is the Chrysler Building. Hey, Pete, look at those two lonely buildings. Weird. Pete grabs a cashew. This is just getting weird for you now. So we head over to Bryant Park over on 6th and 40th, Tesla's regular haunt for feeding his pigeons. Get it? Haunt? Tesla's ghost? That's Tesla's best guess at where to find his doppelganger. And yep, there he is on Tesla's regular bench, throwing bread crusts on the ground, surrounded by like a jillion birds. Same Tesla, just older. Wait, is that even possible? Anyway, he sees us and motions us over. I approach him, watch out for more pigeon shit, Chip, and touch his arm. Solid. Wait, you're not a ghost. Even older Tesla pokes me back with his cane.
Who said I was a ghost?
Gigi and Hannah amble over like two Teslas is the most normal thing in the world and climb onto the bench on either side of him.
Hi, old man.
He pats their head, smiling weakly, then turns to Tesla, grave.
You were right. This is not random. I came to tell you.
Tesla nods, that we don't have much time.
You state the obvious, Nicola. Master Chip must be rubbing off on you.
Hey! Tesla shushes me and turns back to even older Tesla.
I apologize. Go on. I came to tell you not to overlook the key to your problem. It is right under your nose.
I try to look under my nose, which is impossible, really, because your nose gets in the way. That's like basic physics or biology, whatever. Right under our nose? What are we, supposed to grow mustaches or something? Even older Tesla laughs a tired ancient man laugh, wheezing like he's pretty much done listening to decades of stupid chip jokes.
No, Master Chip. The key is...
And he trails off and closes his eyes. I nudge his shoulder. Did he just die? Pete leans in and takes a whiff or something. Nah, sleeping. So what, we just stand here until he wakes up? Original Tesla just shrugs, which I take as a yes, and I gird myself to wait this nap out. Hopefully it's a cat nap. I'm not standing around here for 45 minutes listening to some old guy's wheezy snoring and asking Original Tesla what time it is every 5 seconds. Suddenly, I hear gravel crunching underfoot on the path right behind us. We all whip around to face the intruder. It's Barb, the concierge with the jangly charm bracelet, presumably on her break, looking down, walking, face buried in a cheap romance novel, trying to light a cigarette. She practically smashes into Pete and stops short, looking up, dropping her Pall Mall, all flustered.
Well, isn't that strange? Here I was, lost in thought, thinking about poor Pete, and now here he is, right under my nose.
The three of us gape at each other and understand immediately. We don't even have to look back to see if Tesla's ghost is gone. Yes, he's done his job and he has disappeared. And whether it makes any sense or not, which it doesn't, we know with 100% certainty, Great Aunt Barb is the key.